person, when this yo-yo, the children play yo-yo, it was one time in fashion, every child wants it. Some people living in the village, everyone got a yo-yo, this one child didn't have. And parents want to make the children very happy, couldn't get it, so the father promised the child, every Friday I go to town, I'll buy your yo-yo. So the father went to town, he came back, the child ran to the bus to receive his father, but not to receive his father, to receive his yo-yo. But unfortunately, they also all were sold out. And in the meantime, the son had to go away for studies. He went away, he completed his matric, he became a doctor. The father the next week got a yo-yo. Now what sentimental value it's got to the father? He kept that yo-yo. After about 20 years, the son came back now. No more a small child. Now he's a qualified doctor. And they gave a big dawat for the doctor. The father, his thinking is in that way. And what sentiment? He took out the yo-yo in the middle of that meeting, of that dawat. And he said, my son, you remember, you wanted this yo-yo. I've got it here for you. And now that son said, my father, you want to disgrace me in this gathering? What was the fun of today is the disgrace of tomorrow. So like that, what we think is enjoyment, when the reality of the guna will open in the qabr on the day of Qiyamah, if we didn't make tawbah, we'll be ever so sorry we committed those gunas. So now they look so enjoyable, but afterwards they are not. So gunas are not enjoyable. Shaitan just makes them that at this moment we think, later we'll be ever so sorry that we, whichever guna we commit, we'll be ever so sorry we commit those gunas. Anyway, so there are those gunas that don't even have that that little bit outward enjoyment, false enjoyment. One of Mufti Shafi Sahib has written a whole kitab of such gunas, and it's very necessary that we should try and acquire that kitab, which is available, study it, and those gunas in which we are involved, but there is no even outward, no even superficial fun. Why commit those gunas? Amongst those gunas, with regard to the guna of the eyes, like many of us, we don't make parda from our chachi, father's wife, our father's brother's wife. There is parda from her. And nobody with a bad intention looks at his auntie or anything, but we don't make parda from our momani, mother's brother's wife. There is parda from her also. Cousins, we take them as our sisters for men, and girls take them as their brothers, and we don't make parda from them. And we don't have, perhaps with cousins sometimes you do have some bad intention, you can get married to her, but usually with the older ladies, with your momani, with your chachi, you got no bad intention, and you don't make parda. And it's guna. Allah's law is that you must observe parda. And with regard to this, we say, but there is no, you got no feeling also, any lustful feelings for them. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum explains this very beautifully. He says, when the electricity department is working on the power, and they send notices out for certain day, from 8 to 4, there won't be power, because they're going to do some repairs, maintenance, whatever they're going to do. But they write a note there, but regard all power as life, though they're going to switch it off, because in between they might test, and in between, or might they finish their work by 2 o'clock, though they send a notice for safety by 4. And in between the power can come on, and then there can be great, great problems. Like also, one great advice is, whenever there is a power failure, we should make sure we switch off all power points. Because you might have left your stove on, you might have left your oil on, your frying pan with the, and power went away, and you left it on. You went away for some other work, there's no power, let me go and do some other work. In between the power came on, and you left these things on. You can cause what a fire, what has, and it's happening. It happens regularly. So when the power is off, then also regard it as on for your safety. So our Shaykh says that that person, that the power is off, you got no feeling for that power, for that person. But you don't know when Shaitan can put the power on. And it has happened, it happens all the time. And there is a beautiful Arabic saying that for everything lying on the road, there is somebody who will pick it up. So even that woman who has got no appeal to you, she doesn't look nice or anything, but you don't know when That power can just come on in you, and you get surprised yourself where you got involved and how you got involved. So this is one guna, that from our aunties, etc., that is the chachis, the mamis, momanis, and also from cousins, we should observe parda. It's the law of Allah. And many people, they are very pious, they doing lot work of deen, but they don't observe this parda. And this guna of the eyes is that guna our Shaykh Ahmad Barakatuh explains, that people have swam the whole ocean, but they don't reach the shore. They don't find Allah because of the guna of the eyes. And gunas, with lustful gazes, that how terrible is that? But this is no lust also or anything, but you won't find Allah because it's a sin. And as long as our Shaykh says that a person who commits guna of the eyes particularly, is a fasiq, is an open sinner. And how can a fasiq be a wali of Allah Ta'ala? You can become a wali without tahajjud namaz also. You can become a wali without any nafil ibadat. But how can you become a wali with guna? Not to make, if you don't make tahajjud, no guna. You don't make awwabin ishraq, no guna. You don't all nafil ibadat, no guna. But with guna, how can you be a wali of Allah Ta'ala? So this is that guna. So we should try and avoid this guna also. This guna be lazzat also. And many of our young students ask, especially those who graduate, and they come and ask that we shouldn't make parda from our aunties, the chachis, the momanis, the mamis, etc. We're going back home and they all come and meet, and we sit together and eat at the table where everything, we just talk freely, and it's not regarded as anything wrong also. So what I usually tell them is that when I was also very free with all my auntie, we didn't know there was parda also. There wasn't a thing like that known to us. And even from my sisters-in-law, and that is very dangerous according to the hadith, but I was very free, joking, talking, everything. But Allah Ta'ala gave tawfiq, only Allah's fazal. When I was returning from my studies, I wrote letters home. And I told them, from now, we will observe strict parda. And there was no parda here in South Africa at that time. Was to the best of my knowledge, that time there wasn't a single woman who observed parda in South Africa. Later I came to know that Maulana Suleiman of Middelburg, his wife Apa Suleiman, she has passed away now, well over the age of 90, and a very, very pious lady. She made her husband Hafiz. She was the only woman I came to know. Then much later, somebody said in Durban also, an old lady, she had observed, she was observing parda. But besides that, till today, I don't have knowledge of anyone. But Allah put it in my heart that my wife, I wanted to observe parda. And though my marhum father, he went, he put the proposal, everything was arranged. Then I informed them also. And also, at that time, I bought one burqa from Dioban. We were studying in Dioban, and they used to sell it in the shops, and I thought that was a burqa, but that was a very modern burqa. It was a samosa type scarf, which left all this part of the face also open, and also the arms also, most of the arms you could see, and it was just still over the knee. So all the work on the trouser, the legs used to be open. But we thought that is parda because we didn't know. And I bought one and I sent it as a present before I got married. Allah reward my marhuma mother-in-law. She's an old lady and they had come from Tong. Though she was not observing parda, burqa and that, but she knew what's a burqa. She said, this is a piece of rag. This you don't call a burqa. And then she had one sewn, a proper one. And then I came to know that this is burqa. And then, alhamdulillah, though there was a lot of criticism from the immediate family also. Well, in fact, one of my senior ustads, we went and visited there. So his wife, Allah grant them all jannat, all have passed away. She told my wife, Appa, that don't worry, your malsap, your husband only got Josh now. Yeah, in South Africa, we also all came with burqa, we all gave it up. Yeah, nobody observes parda. Yeah, in this country you can't, there is no question of parda. But Allah, out of His fazal. And all this I can attribute, firstly of course, is only by the fazal and karam of Allah. As far as sabab is concerned, Alhamdulillah, my ta'alluq with my asatiza when I was studying, and then Allah let me spend my Ramzan with Hazrat Shaykh, and that was just something. And that also, we were just graduates. And all along, I used to be very jolly, playing fools, joking with my friends. And in the i'tikaf also, that was our case. We were 5-6 students. And we should, in fact, so much so that somebody reported us to Hazrat Shaykh. And Hazrat Shaykh had asked many people to leave also. If a person doesn't observe his time properly in the khanqah, Hazrat Shaykh should send them away. So they report that we not joining in the ijtimai zikr. Zikr, it was winter that time, and for after Zohar to Asr was zikr time, and almost that whole period, they should make zikr, zikr jehri, which was very loud also, and the whole majma, the whole masjid used to make, but you needed permission for that, and we didn't have, you have to first take proper permission. So one Maulana Ahmad Lulat, Allah gave him jazaya khair, he was a favorite person of Hazrat Shaykh and close to him, he told Hazrat, but they read lot of Quran Sharif. Hazrat said, oh, then it's alright. If they are reading Quran Sharif. And we should spend our time in Quran Sharif. But we were young boys and making jokes and passing like our time. Allah give Haji Ahmad Nahuda a lot of jazaa khair. He advised me, he told me, Hazrat's majlis used to be after supper, after Maghrib supper. The time between Maghrib and Isha was divided in 3 times. One was for supper, then Hazrat's majlis, and then to get ready for Taraweeh. Taraweeh used to be delayed, but so everyone has enough time to have his supper also properly, the majlis also, and to prepare again. So he told me, after supper, everyone is taking it easy. You make sure you come first and you sit right in front by Hazrat. So Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me tawfiq. I used to do that, and I used to sit there. And according to me, and this is khush fehmi of every person, to me it looked Hazrat used to just stare me in the eyes. But everyone thinks like that. When in a way, and also, once one person, when Hazratji Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, a big ijtima in Maritzburg or Durban, international, and I used to do the translation. So this person came specially from Cape Town. He says when Hazratji was making the bayans, Hazratji was just looking at me, he told me. So he wanted to know what message, because I was doing the translation. I hardly know where Hazratji was looking, but everyone thinks like that he's looking only at me, and I'm the biggest favorite. Anyway, but I also got something that testified to it. The whole big majma, how many people used to sit? And my marhum father passed away 29th of Ramadan. So then I went to Hazrat one day before to meet him. I was going, and a big line used to be of people. New people should come for barakat to the khanqah. Those who used to stay should stay. And they should make musafa every day. So whole big line, in that line. I also joined. Then Hazrat caught my hand. He said, where are you going? Whole month you spend with us. Then I realized now Hazrat was looking. And he had recognized me, though I had no personal. Only when I had become bad, that was, but like that, no personal contact. Well, very difficult to get close to Hazrat Shaykh, or Hazrat's personality, his position. But he caught me, he said, where are you going? Then I told him, my father passed away, etc. And that's why I have to leave. So anyway, that nazar, that is a very important thing. So therefore, one of our ustads, Hazrat Maulana Andar Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, used to say, Samne baitha karo, sit in front. I saw Maulana walking there, he wanted to come. Maulana is my senior, but I said, make place for him. And he said, jo piche baithne wale, unko kuch nahi milta. And our Shaykh Damat Barakatum had explained that Shah Abdul Qadir Rahmatullah Ali, the son of Hazrat Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah. He had 4 sons. This was one son. In Fatehpur Masjid in Delhi, which is there till today, old Delhi, he used to make ibadat from the whole night. And he should make lot of early hours of the morning, he should make ibadat. And one day after, and also Hazrat says that a person, especially a person who makes bayan, ustad, who teaches, anyone who makes bayan, etc., first fill up for yourself, and then what is overflowing, then give it to the others. For your zikr, your ibadat, etc. So when we make our ibadat, our wazaif, our tilawat, then you're filling your heart, your cup. And then when it's full and it overflows, that you give to other people. If you are empty, Hadraji Maulana Yusuf Kandelvi Rahmatullah Ali, is one very famous bayan, Hidayati bayan, that if you are going in Jamaat also, if you, what you got inside of you, that you'll give to others. If you got dunya's muhabbat, but you just forced yourself, you came out 40 days, but still on the cell phone, you're doing this business, you're doing that business, your heart is not in your jamaat, and your dunya is there, or worse, your gunas, you are still keeping contact. How many people, this unfortunately, such a time we're living in, it's happening. We are in khanqah, we are in jamaat, we are in umrah, but we're still keeping contact with haram women that are haram for us. And so what have you got? He said, if you got darkness, you will spread darkness. If you got light in you, you will spread light. If you got empty, if you are empty, you'll just go empty around. So first you have to fill yourself up. And also, even in jamaat work, with whom Allah's fazal, when we started and learned jamaat work, I saw those brothers every night, tahajjud paaband. Bahara tasbih, they wouldn't sleep till they don't finish it first, their zikr, their ma'mulat. Everyone else is sleeping, but they finish it. And then those things had effect. If we are empty, then everything will be empty. So Shah Abdul Qadir rahmatullah alayh, his heart was full. And then it overflows from the eyes. Now that nazar of that person falls on somebody, see what effect it has got. Now it overflows from your tongue, not the words, above your words. Now your words have got effect. Otherwise you make flowery talks and what talks, but it won't have effect. Now your hand shake, your one hand shake, your hand just over somebody, if you keep a beard, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be happy. See what effect it has got. It's not that your words and that, it is now, there's something going with it also. Now such people, you press their hands, legs, you are just wasting their time really, but you are getting from them. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum is very particular that he says you must let your murids make your khidmat also. He says, "Jo milta hai Shaykh ki khidmat se milta hai." And many times when we also go by Hazrat, then Hazrat says, "Come now, you press my legs." And for Hazrat, we know there are those people special when afterwards they press, and Hazrat has got a strong body, muscles, and our just like a fly sitting on the horn of a bull. What effect has it got? And Hazrat gets taklif, but for the benefit of the murids, he not allows it, he commands it. So the khidmat, that is where a person gets. So when you touch their body, this is when you get something. From their eyes, from their tongue, that is if you got. So Shah Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahmatullah, Ali, when he had made ibadat like that, and he came out of the masjid, his eyes fell on a dog. And when it fell on this dog, the effect of it was, dog's nature is, if one dog of one street, one locality, neighborhood goes in another neighborhood, those dogs chase it out. They don't allow it. But this dog, wherever it used to go, all the other dogs used to sit with respect in front of it. Like big Sheikh Sap has come, and they all sit with respect in front of Sheikh. So our Sheikh Damat Barakatum says that sometimes when my Sheikh, Hadrat Mana Abdul Ghani Phulpuri Rahmatullah Ali, when I saw his eyes are on my eyes, then I should just make dua, Ya Allah, when Shah Abdul Qadir's nazar had effect on a dog, my Sheikh, and I'm a human being, oh Allah, let that effect come on me also. So this is what to take. When we go to Rauza and Mubarak, this is what to take. If we're going there taking photos and videoing, etc., but that Allah's rahmat that is falling on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's tawajjuh, according to Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam personally, without the intermediary of a farishta, listens to our salam. And according to some of our ulama, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees us also. So at that time, your tawajjuh there, that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's tawajjuh is on me. At Kaaba Sharif, this is what a person should be taking. Allah's rahmat coming on Kaaba Sharif. Oh Allah, shower, let the shower fall on me also. One drop is enough not to change you, to change your whole family, and tell Qiyamah to change your whole family. One drop, but that is if you keep your glass upside down, what you going to take? Keep your glass the right side up. Is a hadith of Bukhari Sharif, of Sahih Riwayat, that Al-Aynu Haqqun, that the eye, nazar, is haqq, it is true. And normally, always, the ulama explained this in the negative light, that if like a mother's nazar also falls on a child, people's nazar falls. And then you have to make some effort to take away that nazar. Nazar falls. Even in love, the mother's love on the child. And now the child got diarrhea. Now the child has got fever. It is that nazar that fell. So, Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali, great muhaqqiq, he says that, oh ulama, why do you only make this bayan, explain this hadith in the manfi, in the negative, that the negative effects fall. The hadith is mutlaq, hadith is not muqayyad, and there is no wajah of qayd anywhere for this hadith. That he says that the right nazar also falls. فَكَيْفَ نَزْرُ الْعَارِفِينَ. He asked, then what is the nazar of the Allah wala? Alladhi yaj'alu fasiqa waliya. That one nazar makes a fasiq, an open sinner, into a wali of Allah. Wal ajahilan alima. And makes a jahil into an alim. Wal kafira mu'mina. And makes a kafir into a mu'min. And this has happened, it is in history recorded that this nazar fell and how people changed. What changes came? Qari Abdul Rashid, who's a famous Jamaat worker of Karachi, once he went to New York in Jamaat, and whichever disease you can think was on him, from head to toe, they admitted him to hospital, and it was just a matter of time, and time also minutes for him. But he, when he came out there healthy, all the nurses, doctors, all came and see him. That this is a miracle, impossible, it defies all our theories. That how is he healthy? The duas, that duas also, how they reach from where to where. And when the people came and see him, that nazar of that people. So what was impossible for them, not multiple, all organ failure. Total failure in their records, properly their results. But he came out, and till today he's walking. And he's traveling in the world till today also. So this is that. So this is what I ascribe it to by Hazrat Sheikh. That nazar, otherwise I know what I was and what I am. But that time that nazar of Hazrat, that to be so strong when there was no parda in the country. And for a young girl of 16 years to observe parda. And when big ulama's wife tell her that you won't manage it, you can't do it, people should tell me, family people close, you're a mad man, you don't know what you, where you're living. And when I also came, I said we'll sit on the floor and eat. And we had to go through some difficulties. I'm saying this for the benefit of our young alim friends, because they ask, they say it's impossible, we can't do it. No, it's possible. And Allah's help. And then today, alhamdulillah, practically our whole family, all are in parda. And all observe parda properly. So it's many also tell me that for you to speak all this is easy because your whole family. But it wasn't from the start. We also had to make that effort, and we also had to go through the mujahada. We had to hear a lot of things also. We had to tolerate a lot of things also. What then? What I was accused also, turning this one out of the house because parda at the moment, you can't come in, you can't be alone. Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, there were two brothers. So the one brother came and visit him. And before he used to come always with his bhabi, sister-in-law, talk, speak, joke, everything. Then this brother became bayat with Hazrat Ma'abrarul Aksab. He realized bayat, now the importance. His wife became bayat, she realized. Then one day the brother came, and the brother, his brother was not there. Now the bhabi refused entry. Sorry, your brother is not here. Something now different. Up to now I was coming, I had permission. Now you turn me out like this. He went and complained to Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib. Since my brother became bayat with you, now no family ties. He's breaking family ties. His wife breaking family ties. So Maulana asked, why? What happened? He said, I went and visit him, and his wife refused me. So he says, was your brother at home? No. So who you went and visit? Your brother's wife or your brother? So if your brother wasn't there, then what work you had there? So then he realized what chore, what thief he had in his heart. Actually, he wasn't going for his brother, but have a cup of tea, make jokes, talk, and you don't know what your nafs is playing havoc with you. You are thinking you are maintaining family ties. And it's wajib, it's faras, to maintain family ties. You mustn't break family, but actually you are doing haram, and you don't even know you are doing haram. So there are these type of gunas also which we are involved in, So all types of gunas, especially these bales, that no faida in any way whatsoever. We should give them up. And inshallah, and this all, that one, alhamdulillah, Allah's fazal. Every Friday I should go with Hazrat Mufti Sahib to Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali. Thursday after madrasa, then Mufti Sahib was very kind to me, he should take me with. We should spend the night, and Jummah after Jummah, come back again. Then I spend my Ramzan also there, and that contact. And so this is that Islahi Nizam which Allah has given from the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if we, as I said, I told you how I spend my time, but it was our Hazrat's tawajjuh and that. But this whole system is such, you will benefit. You will benefit tremendously. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's time, we read mostly in the kitabs of hadith. Kunna fi majlisi Rasulillah. Deen was taught, Islam was made in majlis all the time. Safarna ma'a Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We made safar with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is when deen. Then it all the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then from Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Hassan Basri, then it became a mustaqil shaba of deen from that time. Of Islah, Tasawwuf, Bay'at, etc. From the time of the Tabi'een, it was a complete shoba already. Otherwise, all the efforts of deen were present in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but not recognized as a separate department. And then this was recognized, and from then till today, 1400 years, it is a department of deen known for its on its own. So, and this is so beneficial. If we really just spend our time reasonably well, then Allahu Akbar, what won't Allah bless us with? Also, that all these things, Allah, when He makes fazal, that is the important thing. Maulana Manzoor Nu'mani Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali of Lucknow, he was a member of the Shura of the advisory committee of Darul Uloom Deoband also. So one time the meetings of the madrasa was taking place, he was there. So he says he went and attend sabaks, hadith sabaks also. Then he sat right at the back. So the student by whom he sat, so he told him that open the kitab. His kitab is closed, he's in sabak, but his kitab is closed. He told him, open the kitab. Now Maulana is looking for the hadith, he can't find. Looking, what will start? Which hadith is speaking, making bayan? And yeah, I can't find it. Then he looked at the which kitab, it's a different kitab also. The student, but he says even those students in that mahal, they became great workers of deen. That environment. Whether it's at Darul Uloom, whether it's the Khanqah, just that environment to be in it. And also when we were in Saharanpur, I remember, I told you we were young boys and we should sleep late, talking and making jokes, which was wrong of course. And Seri time, we just couldn't get up. And the same Maulana Ahmed Lulat, he was in charge to give the food. And he should wrap us up in our beddings and move us, because these two food, we were put right at the back, young boys, right out of the masjid. We were right one side where they should serve food. There we used to sleep, and we couldn't get up. And once it rained, and we didn't know it rained also, we were wet. And then only afterwards we got up. But in spite of all that, I see till today that Fuyuzat. As I had explained, and when we returned from there, just after about 2 weeks or so after that, we came back to South Africa by the Karanja. That was the ship, the liner. And I was a young man, and every port that we stopped, this woman who sell themselves used to come onto the ship. And I had a cabin of my own. My friends never ever came to the cabin. We were three or four people. But the barakat of that, and the best days of my life, those 25 days on the ship, till I met my Shaykh Hazrat Hakim Sahib Damat Barakatum, those were the best days of my life. That every morning, alhamdulillah, with tawfiq of tahajjud, and then I should go right to the top of the ship. There was one room there, glass room, and nobody at that time, 3 o'clock in the morning, and there make zikr jahri, make tahajjud. What enjoyment! And many times it happened, it used to rain on the ship, and that rain used to hit onto those glass windows, and this side the zikr. Those were the best days of, and this was all the barakat of that that month that I had spent, and my time that I had spent by Hazrat Shah. And during the week we should go by Mufti Sahib every day. Fridays we should go to Hazrat Sheikh. Then we got Ramzan like this, and then the company of all our other asatiza and that. Allah, that was the fazl of Allah Ta'ala. So if we spend our time, Khanqai Nizam is a very Mubarak Nizam. Allah will give us. Otherwise that time to make parda, to sit on the floor and eat, it was not known all these things. And it was like totally, it was just exactly in the hadith, Bada al-Islamu ghariba, wa say'udu ila al-ghuraba, fatuba lil-ghuraba. I remember that time I wasn't connected with Jamaat work, and we were just a month or two, and there was a Jor in Newtown Masjid. Not many people, but it was big at that time. Jamaat work was also still completely new at that time. And they asked me to make bayan, and I just started headlong with parda, etc. Whereas it's against the usuls of Jamaat. There you fazail only you speak, but this is all what I spoke. So that josh that I had, that was all from Hazrat's Barkat and the Khanqah's Barkat. So anyway, this all gunas, we should try and stay away from them. And especially the ulama. Many of our alim friends, we go to country towns, they are free with the whole townswoman. All our brothers and sisters there in the house, and they say, Apro Mali Sab Bo Haro, Handana Hate Wato Kare, Handana Hate Male. That is a very, the Mali Sab Qurbani time, he's making Qurbani for everyone. He's going and cricket, he's playing cricket with everyone, mixing with everyone so freely. Then what bayan is he going to make? Where is he going to say namaz? He's playing cricket. Now what is he going to make bayan that you must make namaz and you must be here for namaz? And whatever else also, how can he make bayan on parda? This is really, this can only come from the sohbet of Ahlullah. May Allah bless us with the sohbet of the Ahlullah. So these gunas, to have the knowledge, we read the kitabs. And you'll write kitabs also, but to practice on it, to have that in you, that is a complete different thing. And that is what is required. So, guna of the eyes, we must protect ourselves. The tongue we had spoken, the ears, hands and legs, then the thoughts, wasawis that come to us. Then very, very important also is the food that we eat. That is also very important. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says to the Anbiya alayhimus salam, to the Rasuls, Rasul's position is higher than a Nabi's position. A Nabi and a Rasul. Nabi, a Rasul is Sahib-e-Kitab, Sahib-e-Shariat. Nabi carries on the work of another Rasul. Many Nabis came. They carried on the work of a Rasul. So Allah is addressing the Rasuls. Ya ayyuha Rasul, kulu min at-tayyibat. And here Allah didn't say halal. That is in the bag. Where it must be halal. There is no question. More than halal, the food you must eat must be tayyib. Hamale tayyib. And there are two things in that. Our money must also be halal, and what we consume must also be not only halal, but tayyib. And what and then Allah Ta'ala says immediately after that, wa'amalu saliha. The result of that will be amal saliha. Many of us who feel that I'm inclining to guna, I don't have enjoyment in tilawat, besides the finding the love of Allah, see what we are consuming also. What food we are eating, that has a great, in the sight of the Quran it is clear, in English there is a famous saying, you are what you eat. So usually I say that if a child is born with the mother, father having drunk zamzam water, and they made the child grow up with zamzam water, which is from Makkah, the child will be a Makki. Not today's Makki, but the Makki of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time. And if a child was born with that sperm that was made with khajur of Medina, and the child grew up with Medina khajur, he'll be a Madani. And that child that is born, that the mother and father ate junk food, and they brought him up with junk food, that child will be a junkie. It's apparent, it's clear. And not what things we are hearing here now. It's just so that we can take lesson. We should not look down upon anyone. But that young boy who had his parents killed now in Ramzan. For what? Just because of all this drugs and this junk food and all that. He had his own parents murdered. Yeah, in Ramzan, yeah, in our country. And all the time these things are happening. So what we are eating is having a direct effect on us. It is very, very important that we see we are particular, careful of the food that we eat. We can't give a blanket fatwa of haram on things, but be careful for your own sake. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has written that the food you eat, in Gujarati there is a saying, you must be careful what you eat. So the food that we eat is very, very important. And there are so many incidents, we'll just try and refer to a few. One which is very glaring also. Usually, I used to mention it also always, that Bhai Abdul Wahab Saab of Raiwin, when we were there, he used to explain this, that the buzurgs of the past, if any murid was making too much zikr, and they wanted to lessen his zikr, because pride was coming in him, because he was too weak, he couldn't manage so much zikr, but he's enjoying it, he's not giving it up also, and so it's not, he can't make tahammul, he can't tolerate so much zikr, it's too hot for him, or pride is coming in him, he's thinking, I'm making so much zikr, and they wanted to lessen it. The easiest way they used to do, that food which is sold in the bazaar, which is sold in, that food they should let him eat. And automatically, his zikr became less. So one friend of us, Maulana Muhammad Saliji, who is in Phoenix, he told me personally, they went in Jamaat, and in Pakistan, in the Jamaat, there was one person who was crying all the time, and heavy crying. They thought he's going to die. Namaz, at night, they don't let them sleep. Eating time is crying. Namaz time is crying. They were very worried. They went to one village and they told the old workers, we got this problem here. They told, it's very easy, the solution. Take him to the shops where the marketplace is in the village, and to a tea shop where they sell tea. And if you can get a tea shop where there is music playing, let him drink tea there. They took him one cup tea where music was playing. After that, abad, 100% that condition of his went away. So the food we eat, the environment, and today it's a status thing to go and eat at these places out, where there is light music playing also, where there is, you got a parda room, but the man who come and serve you doesn't make parda from your wife. It's a parda room you get there, and that's also an attraction. And we can just think, like at the casinos, they got Jamaat Khana also. And they got halal food also at the casinos. But we are, unfortunately, we are so gullible that we fall for all these things. So, all that environment, then where can the haqiqat of deen come into a person? Outward, just a show. And we know what is munafaqat, nifaq. That outwardly it's a show, inside it's empty, nothing. It's the opposite. So this food has got a great effect on a person. Hakim Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali used to be my Hakim. He explained to me one time that an old lady, Christian white lady in the UK, who was a school teacher, and after years, what experience you have. So then it's easy to teach because you got years of experience. So something came in her mind, let me do something besides my teaching with my students. So this came to her mind, let me see what is the relationship of the food, what they are eating, what their academic performance and their behavior. So she wrote all their names down, all their academic behavior results, and then all their behavior. And she asked each student what food they are eating. And she saw it clearly. Those children who are not eating healthy food, who are eating junk food, etc., that their behavior is bad in class and their academic performance is weak. Then she started supplementing with vitamins quietly. And she saw clearly, as they were getting the necessary vitamins, good food, that part of it, their behavior improved, and their performance. Many with our children, we are worried. We have to see what they are eating. Besides haram, today there are so many things. Tartrazine is almost in everything. And E numbers, and this is also a whole history, that today what they are using, E numbers. First, they should write clearly what it was. Muslims took objection. Now they just changed it into E numbers. E this number and E that number. Who knows what those numbers are? Who takes? There are people who have printed forms for all this, and you can check on it. But normally you just see E number. We just look for a few things there. That it mustn't be gelatin, for example. There mustn't be animal fat, for example. Then we say, all right, this chocolate is okay. But all those E numbers, we don't even know what it is. So therefore, there are many things. So what we eat is very, very important to make sure that we eat the right food and healthy food and tayyib, which is halal also, which is healthy, wholesome food. The food has an effect. And a person, what is his best medicine is his good food. If he has the right food, find out what and what medicine is in an apple. What chemicals, what they took out and they put into other medicine. You'll get it in a Dr. Myatt of Petersburg. One time, one patient came to him. And he had given him some medicine, and then it had a negative reaction on that person. He got very worried because they can sue him also. But then he found that he had eaten two peaches, and the chemical of the peaches and that medicine he had, the reaction came on to him. So all fruit, what chemicals are in fruit also, and to eat the right type of meat also, all these things. Allahu Akbar. This today is a common thing in many countries, margarine, that it's more healthy. It's what you call it, it doesn't cause heart problem. But margarine was actually made for ducks. Ducks, it was made for them. But when it was given to them, they refused to eat it. They just did not touch it. Then, because how much money was put into the research, into the machinery, into the factories, they just modified it, and now they gave it to the wise human being. What the stupid ducks didn't want to eat, the wise human, and for their health, and they are happy. First it came out cheap, now it's the same price like butter almost. Insan is so wise. When the tsunami came, then the animals ran away. Elephants ran away, far away. And wise insan ran into the sea when the water got withdrawn. And when that water hit back again, poor insan got destroyed. The wise insan. One place, Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explains that monkeys were troubling the people a lot. It usually happens on the coast in Natal side. Lot monkeys come in the house. They take away this, that. So the monkeys were troubling a lot. So the people put poison. So the monkeys must eat the poisons. The stupid monkeys came, they smelled it, and they all went away again. And they came back with a baboon, their big doctor. And he came, and they all studied again, they all went away again. Then they came back again, and they used to still eat what they wanted to, but they came with the antidote. They brought it with them. So whatever else, the fruit they used to eat, they used to eat that poison also, and they used to eat the antidote. Nothing happened to them. These are stupid monkeys. But the poor insan, the wise insan, he's eating all what harmful things. What things he's eating. One friend of ours, Yusuf Desai, in Muay River, he explained that one year, they saw the farmers reported that this year the birds are all making their nest very high. That year, the floods came. The birds, without know all this meteorological instruments and knowing the weather, and they only forecast for tomorrow, and that also the news reader read that it's going to be a shiny day, and then you see the news reader going with the umbrella. So much rain is falling. But these animals, they make out all this, and how solid their information is. وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبْرَةً. We still got great, great lessons to learn from the animal kingdom. Today we think we are wise insan. We got barcodes, passports, ID documents, everything barcode. And we never knew that the zebras are barcoded from when already. When a baby zebra is born, we think it's only stripes. The mother zebra blocks its vision from all sides, blows into the nostril of the zebra. And then the zebra, from all the zebras, not of South Africa, of the world, that zebra knows this is my mother. Barcoded, it knows this is exactly my mother. What is Allah Ta'ala's nizam? If we have to study the ants, the bees, the whole modern society, a town is structured. Defense, one side of the police, maternity wards they got. The bees and ants got maternity wards. They got their whole security system. What then? What Allah gave to animals. So animals, their food, they are particular about. But insan is not particular. Insan just eats whatever he wants to. Those monkeys made out, those ducks made out, these things are not healthy for us. They had that, Allah had blessed them, but insan is eating the filthiest and what alcohol insan consumes, drugs insan consumes, what other filth insan is consuming. Besides that, all the unhealthy food also. And also, a person becomes addicted to drugs, and that just doesn't happen like that. It starts off when we start with this unhealthy food, etc. Then it goes on to other things. It goes to other things. And in every field, insan, human beings, nature is, he wants something more higher, more higher. And then he goes finally and he destroys himself completely. So the food is very important. We should be careful of the food. Today money is easily available. And this is no exaggeration. There was that time, the time of depression in the 30s and 40s. Those people who lived in that time, they will know that how people used to, for a little money, how they used to crave. Today, youngsters got so much money. Who hasn't got a... Youngsters got cars. Youngsters got cell phones. Youngsters have got everything. So today we're going in a supermarket, and whatever you want to, you're just putting in your basket. You write out a check, you give the check, you give your credit card, whatever else you want to, or you give the cash. It's so easy. But, so we must be careful of what we are, though it's easily available. And also, supermarkets are full. What things are not there? Wherever you go, things are full. There isn't a time where there is sometimes in economy, there is money, but things are not available. In Zimbabwe recently, what was the condition? Sometimes the things are available, money is not available. We are living in a time, money is also available, things are also available. But as a Muslim, we must be very careful. And any person who is worried of his health, of his deen, one friend of ours who has severe heart problems, and then we came to know, junk food is the order of the day, all the time. So these things, then a person has to suffer the consequences. So it's very, very important that we should be particular of eating. And then again, another thing is healthy food, that also don't overeat. We must eat healthy food and don't overeat in healthy food. Today one friend of ours told that, for example, it is mass chicken slaughterings, there's big companies that they slaughter. So if you are saying that one, two people in the town must slaughter, it'll never be sufficient for all the people. When they are slaughtering, 40 chickens a minute are being slaughtered, or whatever the amount might be, and by the millions chickens are being slaughtered. The consumption, the demand is there. This person who's going to, you're going to slaughter with your own hand, when you're going to finish? Where you'll ever supply this? So we have to realize that meat, I'm not speaking of haram, I'm not speaking of doubtful, I'm not speaking of unhealthy meat. Healthy, good meat, that also must be curbed, it must be very limited. The body really cannot take so much. What the body is made for is more vegetables and more dars. But today everyone, because so much money, so we scoff at dar. And we scoff at vegetables. Today, you put vegetable on the table, the youngsters get up, pull up their faces and they walk away. Well, we must eat this. Only white meat. One friend of ours who worked at one chicken plant in the Eastern Transvaal, Ali, he told us this himself. That one day he saw, after the chickens were slaughtered, pieces were made, they're going to be packed. Then they inject those pieces of meat. So, and because of that, the weight increases and it blows up. And today we like the white meat, the meat that is full of meat. That is what we like. So he asked them, why do you people do this? When you know that this, what you are injecting causes high blood pressure and causes a person to become a diabetic. They say, we're not interested in that. We're interested in money. A businessman is a businessman. So he says, we make it so the meat becomes big in volume and it becomes heavy. And that is what we want. And today we see, whenever we're sitting, we all just go for that big pieces of meat. But we don't know, we are going for big pieces of our health destruction. Eh? That our health, then you, all these problems come. Cancer, these chicken, this machine, big plant chicken. If ever we get the opportunity, Allah give us, these naturally grown chicken that eat around and that. And this what we call desi chicken. In Natal they call him the Zulu chickens. These chickens and this from the machine. Look at that bone. The bone of this machine, it's soft and it's black. That is solid, that bone. And it is white, white, white. And it is solid. And this bone here is black. And it is so soft also. But today everyone prefers that it cooks very easily. And the masalas go into it very easily. That takes long to cook. And it's not so easy to eat how this, unless you cook it quite a bit. But the health is in those things. In all the matters. Today, even fish which is commercially, which is sold in supermarkets, ready packed, etc. That fish also, the feed is given, is a most unhealthy feed. The feed of chickens, the feed of beef, and the feed of sheep. All this year, if you just analyze that feed, what they are giving, you'll never touch those things again. What is being put into that feed? It's halal, no problem. The masala is given, it's halal. But it is most unhealthy, very unhealthy. The two things that a person can save himself as far as mutton and meat is concerned, one is farm chickens, naturally grown. Not only the farm free range. That is much better than these others. But that is also not the actual solution. The farm chickens that grow on their own. Maulana is smiling because he's got a whole lot there in Swaziland. Or he had rather. And the other is the goat industry. Because it is very small, so they haven't interfered with the feed of the goats. The sheep industry is a big industry. The beef industry is a very big industry. Today the fish which we catch ourselves, or anyone catch it from the river or from the sea, no problem. But these which is bred for commercial purposes, that feed which is given to them, tuna is a very good fish, very healthy. But the tuna you can buy in the shop is also fed with all that kind of thing. So therefore, we should be very careful. And if a person eats less, and he eats the healthy food, then inshallah, he will see his health will remain good. Hakim Yusuf, my Hakim, his treatment was not on medicine, very little. And as a last resort medicine, you know, main thing was your diet. For example, he used to be very careful that don't cook in aluminium pots. When you cook that aluminium, it mixes with the food. Today, cancer, one article has just come. Water which we keep, plastic bottles, and we keep it in the car. And the car temperature rises a lot. And most of it has been found that a certain chemical comes in that water. And women, particularly breast cancer, it is because of that water that they are drinking. And today, they say rather keep in glass bottles. Though it is not so safe, it can break and that. But this plastic bottles, which we keep in cars when we are traveling, and we keep the windows closed, and we got the aircon on, there is the temperature which is still building up of the car. And that from the plastic bottle, warming the things in the microwave, in plastic things. There's also that what heat it is subjected to in the microwave. Then that chemical comes into the food and we are eating all that. So it's impossible in these times of ours that we stay away. But how much we can for our deen, for our health. And our food has got an effect on our akhlaq. It's got an effect on our deen. It's got an effect on our morality. It's got an effect on our health. So food is not a simple thing. And at the beginning, Adam alayhi salam, there was no shariat of namaz and all that details. For all of them, they're only about food that Allah's commands came. How to grow your food, how to cook your food, etc. The more we can become natural, the better for us. But of course it is impossible. But how much we can save ourselves? Allah give us tawfiq and realize how important this is and what sohbat and the khanqah effect has on a person. May Allah let us realize and may Allah bless us with those effects, inshallah.